Okay, so thank you. Today I'm going to speak about edge of field runoff and phosphorus losses from regions with cold temperate climates. So this is really the Great Lakes region with emphasis, or basically Ontario, Canada. So I'm going to be talking about the importance of the non-growing season. So most of our existing knowledge surrounding nutrient loads, phosphorus loads, and BMPs really stems from an understanding of growing season processes, so when the world really looks like this. But in fact, we know that a lot of the nutrients and the runoff may in fact be on the move during the non-growing season. You're going to see me use NGS for a short form throughout today's talk. And so this is a NOAA image that I was able to get from the internet that really is showing you it's an early April rainstorm on soils that are quite wet post-snowmelt. And so you can really see that a lot of material is on the move at this time. So what do we mean by non-growing season process? And today, already, we have seen quite a range of what conditions might look like. So what does it mean in the Great Lakes region of Ontario? So you can see, I'm just looking at where the mouse is, except for me. Okay, there. Yeah, so you can see really November, December, January, February, all the way through, it can look, it can really range the conditions. And so for me, what we tend to include for the non-growing season is really that October through April period inclusive. And so this is, as a rule, cold or cool weather, so it doesn't necessarily have to include frozen conditions. It may be snow, it may be rain. This year it's rain. It may be frozen or thawed ground, but precipitation exceeds evapotranspiration during this period, and we do have a surplus of runoff. The bottom line is that you can get a whole range of conditions in our climate type that are happening throughout the non-growing season, but we really don't understand what these processes are fully. There's really not much field data out there on non-growing season processes, and so that's some of what I'm going to talk about today. So the things I want to talk about, first of all, when are most runoff and phosphorus losses happening from fields in our region of Southern Ontario, Canada? The second question I have is, how are these things moving? What are the flow paths that are taking? Are they happening above the ground, below the ground, so surface runoff and tile drainage? Third, do concentrations and loads vary with season in terms of their magnitude, speciation, and can we link this back to things like event drivers and maybe antecedent conditions? And then finally, I want to talk about the potential of certain BMPs for minimizing these winter or non-growing season losses of peat. So the work that we've done, we've now had data ongoing since 2011 across sites, in sites across Ontario. Just have to find the mouse. Okay, and so the three I'm going to talk about today are Lonsborough, Elderton, and Bainesville. And we have been collecting water edge of field losses at these sites. So this includes surface runoff, subsurface runoff, and tile drainage, and hydrometric variables. We have automated storm samplers, so ISCO samplers, that are collecting high frequency data throughout the non-growing season. So that includes the winter conditions. In terms of the farms that we're working on, these are corn, soy, winter wheat rotation, where the farmers are employing multiple management strategies for minimizing nutrient losses and optimizing, obviously, crop production. I'll talk about what some of those are later on, but ultimately, these are they refer to themselves as no-till farmers, but in fact, they have a 1 in 3 year rotation where there's a bit of a minimum disturbance when they come out of wheat. Okay. So my first question, when are most runoff and phosphorus losses happening in this region? And so what I've plotted here is cumulative losses. Okay, so this is from fall 2011 until September 2013, and I've got cumulative. Notice that I've taken advantage of being able to use, or I've used both axes just so that I can blow things up. So what are, I'm using this mouse. Okay, so what we actually see is in with the orange line and the blue line. So the orange or orangey red is precipitation, and then the blue is runoff. So we basically see about 30% runoff coefficients lost at the edge of the field in surface and tile drainage. So we've summed them here. And so again, these are cumulative losses. The things I want to draw your attention to are, first of all, in the summer period, so the boxes, the blue boxes that you see are actually encompassing the non-growing season, so that's that October through April period. And we've had quite a range of conditions. We've had a very warm, snow-free year. My student called it the winter that wasn't. We've then had a year of freeze-thaw cycles, lots and lots of rain on snow, and then we've had two really cold winters, the whole polar vortex. It was a big ice cube, and we just waited for snowmelt. So we've had the whole gamut. Then we had our summer conditions. So we had a very dry year, with the exception of the... And then we had a very wet year in 2013, and then we had two fairly normal summers in 14 and 15. And so what I want you to see is that you can see the cumulative losses are mostly happening during that non-growing season. The exception is in that very, very wet 2013 season. So yes, we can have summer losses, but most years we don't. Most of the action is happening during that non-growing season. And when we look at the bottom graph, you can see total phosphorus on the left axis, dissolved reactive phosphorus on the Y. So I've separated them again. So you can see that the maximum is 2 kilograms per hectare on the left axis and 0.6 on the right axis for the DRP. So what we can see again, most of that phosphorus is being lost when the runoff is happening. So most of our runoff is happening during the NGS, most of our phosphorus losses are happening during the non-growing season. But we also see that we have differences in terms of the magnitude of losses that are happening over those seasons. So in our really hydrologically active season, takes a minute for the mouse to wake up. Sorry, guys. Doesn't seem to want to. Anyway, so if you look at 2013, you can see that we had a lot more phosphorus losses in that growing season than when we look at, say, our later in 2014, which had just as much moisture in terms of snow or precipitation, but it tended to be a long and lazy melt with lots and lots of radiation thaw. So we did see differences. And definitely we can see differences with the years in which phosphorus is applied. So if we amalgamate all of these data points together over the 4 years, you can see that when we've looked at fall, winter, spring, and summer, so fall being October, November, December, winter, January, February, March, the gray is spring, April, May, June, and the dark at the top is July, August, September. And so what we can see is that a considerable proportion, even though we've got a wet year, we've had wet years, dry years, cold years, warm years, most of it is absolutely happening during that non-growing season. And even with the spring loads, most of that is really in April. So very little of our runoff and our nutrient loads are actually occurring during the growing season. So what are the pathways through which this is actually moving off of the fields? And so what we have is rut flow. This is just proportion, okay? So the lighter shade is tile drainage and the darker shade of blue is surface. So looking at our three sites, the Ilderton and Bainesville are silt loam, and the Lonsborough example is a clay loam, we can see that most of the water is running off below ground, so often 85% plus. But when we look at the concentrations, these are flow-weighted mean concentrations in the tiles and in the surface for both DRP and TP, we can see that our concentrations in our surface runoff are considerably higher. This is a logarithmic scale on the y-axis. So they are there's definitely variability, but our surface runoff concentrations are higher. So when we factor these together, we find that our surface runoff that represents a very small fraction of the overall flow at two of our sites really represents the lion's share of both dissolved and total phosphorus loads. At our third site, the Ilderton site, this one tends to be a very flat, hummocky site, and so it impedes flow off of the field and really forces it underground, and so we don't really get very much in the way of overland flow at that site. So with regards to when is this happening, the tiles can be active all the way through October, all the way through to really May, June, but the surface runoff really tends to occur as peak flow events, and you may get one, the major snowmelt event each year, or you may see, you know, one to five peak flow events throughout a non-growing season. So it really ranges, but the fact is that it's not happening all the time. So often we hear from people that will say, oh, there's no surface runoff off of my fields. Oh, and we say, well, what about snowmelt? Oh, yeah, just a little bit then, but mostly not. Well, that little 2 days of massive flow off of your fields can be when all of that phosphorus is being lost. So it is absolutely relevant when we factor where those loads are coming from. It's definitely not chronic, but it's an important pathway. So is it just all about flow, or do we see some differences with the quality of the material flowing off of the fields? And so it looks, what we look at, if you look at spring and summer in our Lawnsboro example, it looks like, wow, I don't have much data there. I do and I don't. We've been recording data throughout that. It just shows you the few number of events that occur during that time period with which on around which we can actually collect the data. So it's not that we miss the storms, they just don't create flow. So much of that moisture just simply goes into storage. So when we look at the winter and the fall, we do see a tremendous amount of variability. A lot of that tends to be more in the surface runoff than it is in the tiles. So do we see that these that the magnitudes and speciation of this material is affected by event drivers or antecedent conditions? So I guess what I'm trying to get at here is, are all non-growing season events created equal? Can we characterize what these might be? And so one thing that we looked at, we noticed that events where you had a lot of rain on snow, moisture, mixed precipitation really had, if you look at the top picture in my slide, you can see that it's very turbid water. Whereas if you look at the bottom image where it's really more about radiation melt, you'll find there's a lot more clarity. And we find in events when we characterize those events, we did find that our radiation melt storms did not tend to export as much phosphorus. Certainly the concentrations were lower relative to those where there was precipitation. And so Chris Vanisbrook, and this paper is coming out in the Journal of Soil and Water Conservation in the new year, he looked at the proportion of precipitation falling as rainfall, and he plotted that against flow-weighted mean concentrations in surface runoff. So this is not in tile, this is just surface only. And you'll notice that for the dissolved phosphorus, which is the white circles, it really didn't do anything. But for particulate and therefore total phosphorus, we saw an increase. So really the mechanical energy of precipitation on those brown fields is relevant, and it tends to give support to keeping those fields covered in the winter time. Our Ilderton example, we didn't see as a dramatic an effect. And again, this is not really a very sloped site, tends to be hummocky, but I've circled the middle event with a blue circle. And what was unique about that event is that was the only event in all of the events captured where we actually had a little bit of ground frost. So we tend to think about winter, we tend to think about frozen ground. Well, in our Ontario fields, a lot of the time, even in 2014 and 15, which were our polar vortex years, we had so much snowpack on those fields that we really didn't have appreciable amounts of ground frost. And so at the Ilderton site, again, it looks like it may have been a little bit higher on the frozen ground, but we just don't seem to see it as enough to really tackle that one yet. So I mentioned that the idea of more rain on bare soils in the non-growing season amplifying phosphorus losses, we say, okay, well, let's keep things covered. And remember that 75% of our edge of field losses are in the particulate form. DRP is about 25% from our fields. So we look. Cover crops are being widely promoted in Ontario for soil health, but also possibly to minimize nutrient losses, phosphorus losses. The argument against them is that vegetation following freeze-thaw cycles can obviously release some of this phosphorus as dissolved phosphorus, which can then be leached or removed from the field. So the question is, well, what are those trade-offs? So Tatiana Lozier looked at this both in a lab setting and in a field setting and subjected different cover crops and vegetation and wheat stubble to freeze-thaw cycles. And what she found is that absolutely, wheat stubble didn't really kick off very much at all, but oats and red clover did. But what we found is that they tended to lose it fairly quickly within the first freeze-thaw leaching event. And so what she found is that, yes, cover crops can release phosphorus, but it does tend to vary with crop, and it tends to vary with also the nature of that water extraction. And so what we can see in the image is that you have with the red line, that is showing where the vegetation was subjected to rainfall, whereas the gray is water extractable P in the vegetation, and the dark, very dark gray is surface inundation, so flooding, so standing water on the fields. So definitely in areas that are prone to standing water, following three thaw cycles, that's where you have the most risk. But if you don't have that, it may be that it's not as severe in the southern Ontario climate, because certainly a lot of our freeze thaw cycles and our runoff events are actually happening in the autumn months before that really freeze, the real freezing conditions hit in earnest. So we may not see as significant winter losses from our cover crops. Timing of phosphorus application. So our farmers on our sites tend to have a 1 in 3, they apply most of their phosphorus requirements when they come out of wheat. And so that tends to be in early October. And so what we have on the bottom graph, you're seeing it's only if you look to the left of the dashed line, this is only tile drainage. We didn't have our surface runoff collectors in during that time. So they fertilized with manure and phosphor and monoammonium phosphate and manure in the October of our first year, but nothing was applied in the second year. And you absolutely can see those losses in the tile drainage and the odd grab that we did get from the surface runoff. It was absolutely elevated as well. So you would say, so when you think about, well, do we apply in the fall? Do we apply in the spring? I think when we look at our climate, the risk of non-growing season losses, you're going to get snowmelt in any given year. You may get a spring storm, but you will get a snowmelt event. So if we can spread or try to get things on in spring as much as possible, I think this may reduce some losses. Or if you are going to fall, do things in the autumn as early as possible seems to be a better choice. So I mentioned earlier that our farmers are using several bundled best management practices. So they're no-till or they're minimum till. They tend to apply their phosphorus in bands in the subsurface with seed. What we were showing here is I was looking at cumulative runoff against cumulative phosphorus losses. And what you can see, again, those boxes are showing you those non-growing seasons. 2013 is the only one where we actually saw anything coming off outside of the non-growing season. It's not just a function of runoff or of the amount of flow. We also see differences with climate conditions, but also when that P is being applied. But I think the biggest take home is look at these loads, 2 kilograms per hectare, less than 2 kilograms total P edge of field over a 4-year period, which translates to about a 0.5 kilogram per hectare a year. These are pretty low loads. So these guys are using nutrient management, reduced tillage, subsurface application of P, and cover crops when they come out of the winter wheat. And collectively, these seem to be maintaining reasonably low loads. So we think this is promising. So finally, in closing, most of the runoff is happening during the non-growing season. A lot of flow is coming through tiles, but most of the phosphorus is actually flowing above the sea, above the surface, in those winter snowmelt and spring storm events. Things are varying throughout seasons, and I think that climate and management work together to govern those things, and I think that we need to emphasize BMPs that are going to be effective during both the growing season and the non-growing season as we move forward.